We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Do you have news?
I have confirmed through my sources that Grizzlick has been cleared and he is going to play.
Here's what I told you yesterday.
I was all ears.
Matt Grizzlick's going to play tomorrow.
Scoops!
Dale Arnold.
I'm going to surprise you here. That's a legitimate argument.
Dale, I'm a great hockey mind.
Rich Key.
Kyrie deserves his share of the blame, but not any more than anybody else.
Dale and Keith.
There's no way he comes back from a broken jaw.
So both of our former tight ends turned hockey experts say he's done for the playoffs.
I don't know what Fourier's saying.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith. Sports Radio WEEI, the biggest news of the day so far concerns an optional game day skate over at the Garden. Zdeno Chara and Matt Grizzlick are both on the ice. Both are not wearing red non-contact jerseys, which they would be if they were still in any protocol. Zdeno has this gigantic chin jaw protector thing, almost like a football helmet around his jaw and chin area, and the glass, you know, the plexiglass shield over his face.
Is he like the bubble boy out there?
A little bit.
It's a big deal.
Moops.
It's a big thing that Moops. He's wearing. I can tell you that according to Bruce Cassidy, A, they never ruled him out, he said. He was never ruled out.
For game four?
For this game.
Okay.
Yeah, that he was never ruled out.
Because game four, he was ruled out. He had to have been.
Right.
Yeah.
According to Cassidy.
He wasn't Dunsky? Did Cassidy say Dunsky? Because that would have been real damning.
That would have been a real...
Shot to Fourier.
He just said that he was never
Dunsky.
Ruled out.
Ugh.
He said that their biggest concern was that he had a concussion.
So I would
and
stop right there.
That's why they were waiting.
How can you put him on the bench with a concussion? That's got to go against all protocol. How can you possibly do that? Wouldn't that be the one? That's why when he came back out there, first of all, I assumed he was going to play because he was sitting on the bench and they rigged up a bubble mask for him. But didn't you think it couldn't have been a concussion because they would leave him in some sort of dark room or they'd give him some tests? So that's somebody screwed up protocol there. If they're admitting that they thought he had a concussion, they really screwed something up.
Yeah, he said the first thing that he worried about was a concussion because then you go into the protocol.
Let's get him on the bench.
Which is what Grizzlick was in. Grizzlick was in the protocol.
And he didn't sit on the bench.
It is not a time frame. It's not you got to be in it for 7 days or 10 days. It's a milestone thing. You got to do this first. Then you move on to this.
You got to watch a period from the bench first.
Yeah, evidently not.
Survive that. So somebody broke protocol on their part. They screwed that up. You can't sit on the bench with a concussion.
Well, it's the doctor who supposedly said he could do it. Now they said you got to rig up this thing so that we can protect his jaw.
Maybe he should have wore sunglasses. That would have been pretty slick. That would have been.
Could you imagine?
That would have been more intimidating too. Had he had shades or like a tinted LaDainian Tomlinson shield, that would have been a sweet look too.
Now the one thing that Cassidy did say, and this might be the thing that you know perhaps Christian can hang his hat on. He still has to be cleared by the doctor. If the doctor does not clear him, they will not let Chara talk his way into the lineup.
Yeah, but we've come a long way from he can't play for the rest of the series. That's what Fourier and Wiggy were saying. So I think throw that out. Chara on the ice, Grizzlick on the ice. I think both will play. But the question is how effective will either of them be? Like, what do you expect out of Chara tonight?
I would expect kind of the normal game from him.
Really?
I mean, which as hard as that is for us to believe, I mean, normal people who, you know, would be laying in bed with a broken jaw.
Yeah.
He's not normal.
Well, I don't know if it's a pain. Like, I think when Wiggy was talking about it yesterday, I think he was right. It's not necessarily, oh, can I deal with the pain? Because it's not going to affect his skating and his, you know, his passing and shooting. It's not going to affect that part of it. But how does he breathe out there? Like, if he's huffing, like... If your mouth is wired shut, we don't know if it is or not, but if I'm guessing if he had some sort of surgery done to it, that may catch up to him. And can he play 22, 24 minutes? That may be difficult.
All the shots that people, Matt Kalman and others, have posted video of him out on the ice wearing this big contraption, but in none of them are you able to see whether his jaw has been wired shut. You can't tell that. You know, nutrition, obviously a huge part of this whole thing. Has he been unable to eat since Monday? You know, is he sipping... you know, breakfast cereal through
probably
a straw.
I would think. I would too. A broken jaw. And I think the Blues are going to be going after him immediately. Like, first shift for Chara, which will probably be right out of the gate, get the crowd all kinds of fired up. The Blues are going to be going right after him, and it's whether or not they call a penalty on that or and then capitalize on the power play.
So the St. Louis Blues, as the opposition, have gone from Monday night thinking they were going to play Game 5 in Boston with the Bruins missing three of their top six defensemen. They've been missing Miller all along, but he was one of their top six defensemen. They thought Grizzlick was in the concussion protocol. He's out. Chara's got a broken jaw. He's out. Now, Miller's not coming back, but they've got to be sitting there going, geez, I thought these other two guys were going to be gone.
I bet they're pretty confident. I bet they're feeling great after the way that they've played. That game four was their best game that they had played. And it's not like you're losing Bergeron and you're not expecting Bergeron to play. Like, Grizzlick and Chara are good, but they're the third and fourth best defensemen on the team. Or maybe third and fifth, right? Because you have Krug in there somewhere. So I don't think they're out. I wouldn't be panicking.
Cassidy says they're game time decisions, but as we told you last hour, it's been my experience that 95% of the time, if they take warm up, they play.
Right.
I can't remember the last time I saw a guy take warm up, and then they said, yeah, you know what? He's not as good as we thought. He's got to come out.
Right. It might have been Chara. Remember several years ago, didn't he have the flu? And I feel like he went out there and then he couldn't play. There was a playoff game that he sat out due to the flu. So maybe it was something like that. But yeah, chances are those guys are going to be in there, and that's obviously good news for the Bruins.
So there's the news from the Bruins' perspective. It would appear that you're going to have both Matt Grizzlick and Zdeno Chara in the lineup tonight for Game 5, pivotal Game 5. I think I heard you say that earlier.
I think it's pivotal. That's not just one voice, though. I don't know if everybody agrees with me that it's pivotal, but it is.
Well, again, I think, you know, you are a hockey insider.
Well, I mean, I did have a source on this. I did. Grizzlick was in yesterday. Chara game time decision. I said that yesterday. Pull tape. Get the
don't
need to pull tape.
No, don't have us pull tape.
I know,
again.
I know. But I'm telling you, my source seems pretty good too. Now I don't want to be that guy that's, you know, hunting everybody down,
trying to get the credit.
I don't want the credit. I don't need the credit because I also don't want the blame if that's ever wrong.
Now, do you think that will happen? Like if
Fourier,
if they're on the ice 8:23 tonight, if Chara's out there, is it going to be like everyone now has to blame?
Oh, Fourier's going to get crushed. Yeah. Oh yeah, crushed. You can't call him a hockey insider anymore.
And is everybody on the station going to say everyone should blame?
Yeah,
Christian
Fourier. You have to blame him. That's what we're going to lead our show with tomorrow at 10. Not the game. Fourier, no longer hockey insider. Remove it from your LinkedIn. That is not your job description anymore.
Do you think we should have him on tomorrow? Maybe he'll call in?
Not on that phone.
Based on what we heard yesterday on that phone? No. Here's the problem, is that his source told him one thing, and his source, it appears, was dead wrong.
Yeah, but his source didn't go on the radio.
He went on
the
radio.
So that's how it works. Like, every once in a while when those big-time newsbreakers like Schefter or Glazer, although Glazer, I don't know if really gets anything wrong. He doesn't report as much stuff as Schefter, but his percentage is probably even higher. But when those guys, like, you know, some of the guys covering the Patriots have been wrong on certain injuries. So then you're always sort of, you know, you look at them with a grain of salt until they build it back up, until they hit up a whole bunch of stories again. And then you say, all right, here we go. And I know it's not them pulling it out of the sky, but it's similar to Kyrie Irving. Who gets the credit? Who gets the blame? I'm not going to blame the source. We don't even know who the hell the source is. You blame the person who trusted the source. That's
Lou's calling me right now. Of course, Ordway is texting me like crazy. Don't give it away. Don't give it away.
All right. He had nothing. Sad, really.
Well, he might not have had anything.
We'll see. We'll find out tonight.
I can tell you that reports from the arena is that Chara skated for 20 to 25 minutes, did work on puck retrievals, picking the puck up off the boards, pinching at the point. He also was trying to see how he can pick the puck out of his skates, because that's going to be the issue for him with that view, you know, that vision looking down. He seemed to be trying to get used to that whole extra thing that he's playing with.
Well, and that's just it, too, because if he say he has a bad turnover tonight, you can't say, he's got the bubble on. Nope, you're out there. If you're healthy enough to play and you're playing, you expect him to play well. Otherwise, you shouldn't have played. So you can't use that as an excuse, unfortunately.
My guess is the way these things work, he's going to come off the ice from the morning skate, or is off the ice now. He'll get showered and changed, then he'll see the doctor. The doctor will tell him this morning, okay, this is a pain tolerance thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you can play, but you've got to decide. He'll know before he leaves the rink this morning
whether
or not he's been cleared.
Yeah, and if he's allowed to play, he's going to play. It's as simple as that.
It's his choice.
Go to CVS, get some breathe rights, and then you're going to have yourself a hell of a game.
I will tell you.
Do I think he? No, I said yesterday on our show he is not playing.
Ugh, boy, that is going to be trouble. That is, I don't know how, like Bradford, I don't know how he's going to spin it. I know he's been very adamant on Twitter that Fourier get all the credit. Yikes, that's tough. That is not something you want to be a part of. But I guess it's the nature of the news breaking business.
Better to not break news, huh?
Well, I wouldn't say that. They got a couple of shows worth of material out of it. It's probably smart.
617-779-7937. George is in Wayland. Hey, George.
How you doing?
What's going
Great.
On?
Great show.
Thank you.
I'm going to make an unpopular prediction. I'm going to say St. Louis in six. How does that sound?
Oh, my God. Why do you say that, George?
And I'm a Boston fan.
Oh, you don't sound
doesn't
like it.
Sound
no,
like
it really doesn't.
Well, basically, I think that unless Rask is totally perfect and Bennington is real leaky, that the time of possession in every game has been in St. Louis's favor. Every single game, 5-on-5.
That's not true.
5-on-5? Well,
The 7-2 game, I don't think it was in St. Louis's favor.
They had like four power play goals.
No, I know.
Right? Didn't an empty netter?
No.
I think you're right, George. 5-on-5 has definitely been St. Louis.
Those were on four shots. You look at the 5-on-5.
I understand. 5-on-5, they've gotten smacked around a little bit. You're right.
St. Louis had the most possession time, even in that game. The physicality of St. Louis, they knocked three of the starters out of San Jose.
Yep.
And they're doing this.
The same thing here. I know it.
And the next thing is, even if Greslick and Chara play, they're not going to be the same.
Probably not. Probably not. Wait, so there's George.
He's a little ray of sunshine, isn't he?
Where is he wrong?
Well, I don't know. We don't know yet. He says St. Louis is going to win the next two games.
You said they're better 5-on-5?
No, I didn't say that. I said he said they've been that they've been outplayed in possession for all four games. I don't believe that's true.
Well, he said the Blues have been better 5-on-5. You would have to
admit that. The only thing I disagreed with him on was the Blues have dominated possession for all four games. I don't think that's true.
It feels like it's true. I mean, Game 3, the Bruins dominated, but they also went 4-for-4 on the power play. If you're just looking at 5-on-5, so that's why it comes back to how many power plays do they get? What do the refs call? Because that's been the biggest surprise to me. I thought the Bruins had the advantage everywhere. And 5-on-5, check mark goes to the Blues. So it's a good point by George.
Not a boy, George.
Well, what do you mean? Where is he wrong?
No, I'm kidding about the whole St. Louis is going to win in six.
Well, if you disagree with him, say why.
I think the Bruins are still a better team, and they've got home ice advantage.
But the four games that we've seen, what does home ice mean? Anything?
I think I'd rather play game seven at home than on the road.
But St. Louis is better on the road than they are at home.
Yes, I still would rather play game seven at home.
I know, but you made it out to be like George was crazy for saying that they're better 5-on-5.
No, I didn't disagree with that part. Right. What I disagreed with, they've dominated time of possession for all four games. That was where I disagreed with him.
I mean, I don't know what the stats are in that, but last game certainly felt like it. They controlled the ice for sure in game four. And, I mean, I guess you'd have to go back and look at the other ones. But most recently, I feel like he's probably on to something.
Mike's in Wakefield. Hey, Mike.
Gentlemen, was that you guys playing Glory in the background, or was that him?
It was George.
George. George brought a soundtrack with him, yeah.
Because I was like, am I hearing stuff?
Oh, no.
So this is a real Daler's Choice. Get it?
I love it. I love it. It's a new segment that we have. Play the open for Daler's Choice, Rossi. No, we don't have it yet. Mike, go ahead. Oh, there it is.
the universal buzz.
That's right.
Okay, so I can either clap back at Wiggy because him and I have a little bit of a Twitter beef going on about what his time should be on the show.
Oh, boy.
Or I can give you my take on the Bruins tonight.
I'd rather you just deal
with
the Wiggy
Bruins.
On your own.
Yeah, you can call Wiggy next Wednesday. Why don't you go with the Bruins?
Well, I tried to, but you guys had me on hold for 2 hours and 45 minutes yesterday waiting to do it. So
that's out of my hands, Mike. That's out of my hands.
Yeah, okay. Anyways, I knew Char was going to play. The dude's an absolute animal. And if you want my honest opinion, he wins the cup this year, then he's going to retire. There's no better way to go out than on top. He's been playing top of his game for as long as he can. But definitely, I did say six initially, but now I think it's going to go seven. And they're definitely going to go up the Chara tonight. And I'm nervous. I'm not going to lie, man. Kind of like with that last caller, I'm kind of nervous that St. Louis might have the edge now because if they're going after Chara, he might be a little bit tentative. So.
They're definitely going to go after him. And it's just a matter of, Does it knock them out of the game? Do they call the penalties?
Or does it give the Bruins a bunch of power
plays? Right, exactly. And then that would play into their hands. If they were able to capitalize like they did in game three, then that'd be great. And on top of it, if it doesn't work as far as, you know, it doesn't bother Chara, like he's able to, you know, move on from it. And then, like, and that's also if they go out of their way to do that. Like, if that's even part of their game plan, like, hey, go after Chara and Grizzlick, it would remind you of the Carolina series where they're like, hey, just get these big hits. Like, well, you also need to worry about the puck. Like, you also need to score. And they were just so concerned about being physical that it screwed them up completely.
Yeah, I do think that if they go into it, and probably not even Berube telling them, hey, let's make sure we get on Grizzlick and Chara. But in the back of your mind, you're thinking about this if you're a player for the Blues and you're on the ice. And if they do get caught up in that, I think it could end up burning them. A, for power plays, and B, you're out of position because you're trying to take big runs at guys, and all of a sudden a pass, and boom, you get trapped behind the play, and the Bruins are headed the other way.
Right.
It probably would not serve them, but they'll do it.
I would be shocked if they didn't.
Oh, no, they'll be going after them. Bob's in Newton. Hey, Bob.
How you doing, fellas?
What's going on?
Good.
Listen, I got a little different take on Ainge.
Okay. Like,
he's been in there for, what, 19 seasons? He gave us this 6-year plan, and I actually think he's more like a Jackie Bradley of general managers. He's the most popular general manager in town by far. Why?
I think Belichick's
pretty popular.
I don't think. Well, he is with the fans, but not the media.
Oh, who cares about the media?
Yeah, with the media.
Well, I mean, listen to me for a sec.
Okay.
If Danny wasn't such a smoozer with the media, he would have been run out of town because he's not getting the results that he's playing. You know, like,
well, he's won a title. He won a title. He got. He got to an NBA. He got to another title. Then he was able to sell off all those pieces and then get a really good team with only missing the playoffs for 1 year.
But
so let me ask you this, Bob. No, I understand. But let me ask you: would you have not done the Kyrie Irving deal?
Well, I'll tell it to you like this.
Okay. So that's
I was a general manager, I would have known more about Kyrie and what kind of person he is.
Oh.
He's a jerk.
Okay.
And I wouldn't have brought him in here.
No. Oh, you wouldn't have. So you would have.
Because
so you
look at the way he acted. He quit on the last three games. The guy quit.
Okay.
Like, even he bring the ball down.
So no. So you wouldn't have made the trade.
So Bob,
you wouldn't have made the trade for Kyrie. So you would have held on to Isaiah Thomas and his broken hip and Jay Crowder, and you would have done what?
No, I didn't say that.
Yes or no? Would you have done the Kyrie trade?
I would not have done a trade for Kyrie Irving.
That's certainly hindsight. Certainly hindsight.
The kind of person he is.
Well, hindsight. Okay. Yeah. 2 years later, you found out. Listen, I'm not saying you can't criticize Ainge. You definitely can.
Sure.
But I'm just wondering what was his overall point?
Well, other than the
because
call,
he's good
the
with the media
was the lone voice in the wilderness because at the time Ainge was acquiring Kyrie Irving, we were sitting here taking calls from people, and everybody was all sorts of cranked up about
great trade at the time, and I guess we didn't really know Kyrie, and maybe he should have. I guess if you want to do that, you want to like do like a personality test, and you wanted to know that he wasn't a good leader, but I think you were just trying to acquire talent, and I'm certainly not going to penalize a GM for bringing in as much talent as they possibly can. So did the Kyrie trade work? Nope. But I would do it every single time. Look what they gave up. The number 8 pick, Ante Zizic, Isaiah Thomas, who, poor guy,
was hurt.
Nowhere near the same, and he never will be, and Jay Crowder, who you can find a Jay Crowder out there any day of the week. You gave up all of that for a top 10 player in the NBA. Now, I know he's a dink, a jerk, whatever the caller wanted to call him. But at the time, that was the right trade to make. And oh, by the way, last year before he got hurt, they were rolling. They looked great. Now this year, I think with the pressure of being a free agent at the end of the year, the pressure of it being his team, the pieces not really fitting together, it blew up. But the year before, it was looking like it was going to work.
617-779-7937. Chris in Peabody. Hey, Chris.
Hi. How you doing today?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing well. I just hear everybody they call, and they're very excited that Chara's coming back. And I'm a Bruins fan. I love Chara like everybody else. I think he's an animal. But I think with a broken jaw, if I'm on St. Louis, I'm sitting in the locker room or at the practice facility, and I'm saying,
this is terrific. This guy's going to play with a broken jaw, and we're going to be able to manhandle him because he's not going to be 75% as good as he should be. I mean, I think it's definitely a down for them to have Chara out there with a broken jaw. It's not a plus.
So you would not be playing him tonight?
Yeah.
Absolutely not. No. He's probably going to be a target, and they don't even have to hit him high for that to hurt. He could get hit on the hip and checked with a regular body check, and it's going to ring his bell. I don't know if you've ever had a broken jaw before, but I have.
I have not.
It hurts if you stub your toe when you have a broken jaw.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure he's going to be in a lot of pain.
I'm sure pain is going to be there. He does seem to be able to isolate that better than most.
You don't know how effective he's going to be. That's obviously fair. And then are you overthinking it if you go seven defensemen and now all of a sudden, all right, how does that work out with your 11 forwards? Like, are you able to balance that in a certain way? And you're doing it just in case Chara isn't 100%. And then if he is, you're basically wasting the seventh defenseman. You know, now John Moore is active, but he plays 5 minutes or less. You know, I just, that's more of a trickle down.
And you're taking away what would have, and I'm just using this as an example,
yeah,
what would have been 14 minutes from Noel Achari.
Right.
And what you're turning it into is 4 or 5 minutes from John Moore. Is that, you know, a good use of what you've got?
So if Chara can go, I'm playing him, but I get the other side of it. I get, well, it was that Chris. I understand what he is saying. You don't know how effective he's going to be. And the Blues, it could certainly work one of two ways. They could go right after him and he's not nearly as good. And maybe he even rehurts himself and then he's just done for the rest of the game. And now it's similar to Game 2 and Game 4 where you have to play over two periods with just 5 defensemen, or in this case, 6 defensemen and 11 forwards.
Right.
Or, you know, he's drawn a bunch of penalties because they're going after him. They're going out of their way, and the refs are seeing everything.
John Moore, meeting with the media, was asked, what did he think when he saw Chara getting ready for work today? He said, quote, "It's something I'll tell my kids about," unquote.
Yeah, seriously.
It's hard to believe that there won't be some inspirational factor for the Bruins. He is wildly popular within that dressing room.
Right.
He is the acknowledged, you know, singular emotional leader of this team. As Jerry said this morning, you're in the 5th game of the Stanley Cup Final. You should be
jazzed.
Be
I would
pretty
think so.
Cranked up anyway.
Yeah.
Ross is in Westfield. Hey, Ross.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
What's up, Ross?
Hey, I just got a couple comments. One old generation, one new generation.
Perfect.
We're an old school family, come from the neighborhood. We've loved the Celtics. That's the only squad that we ever saw really mattered. I mean, we love Boston sports, but when we look at the Celtics, the old guys are like, hey, 32, almost 33 years, we've only gotten one ring. That's not great performance.
Okay.
The Lakers have been piling them on. We look at it now, the young guys, I'm a fan. I love the way Danny Ainge has handled business. I think he's awesome. I think he's the next generation, but I kind of agree with the earlier caller. He's a hometown hero. We love him. We give him a little bit of rope. He's had a lot of talent. He's had some amazing roster opportunities. He's got a great coach. I think maybe the Celtics just need a little more discipline towards the facts of maybe a little more Bill Belichick mentality, a little more rough, because sometimes we're a little patient.
So you think they should hire a new coach? Is this an Ainge criticism or a Stevens criticism?
No, just a little more intensity, because the city of Boston loves the Celtics so much.
No, I understand
they'll never be in the crosshairs. The city was kicked off in the early run of the 10-11 rings. I mean, the people we're dealing with are the hierarchy of basketball. So you got to be very careful.
What are you saying? Boil it down. Like, let's say somebody joined you late here. What are you saying?
They're the quintessential squad in the NBA. They're the king of kings.
Okay.
Without the Celtics, there's no Lakers. Without the Lakers, there's no Celtics. There's a symbiote reality there.
I don't know. Yeah, what the hell? Did he say symbiote? Like Venom?
I think he meant symbiotic, but it didn't come out that way.
Symbiotic reality.
I don't know what that was about. I'm like, are you criticizing Ainge or Stevens? He's like, no. They're just an important franchise. Okay.
He's from the neighborhood, Keith.
And he wants Belichick? Yeah, we all want Belichick to coach all the teams. Something tells me Belichick in the NBA may not work. I don't know.
He might have trouble dealing with Kyrie Irving, wouldn't
he? It might. Although Greg Popovich handles the media in the exact same way that Belichick does.
Yeah, that's true.
It's worked for him, but What is it? The Lakers are piling up the titles. They haven't won since 2010.
In the last 30 years, he was trying to give a window, and they only won, what, two more than the Celtics?
Right. Well, no.
They won three.
They had the three Shaq ones.
So five to one.
They've won five. The Celtics have won one. But also, the leagues are different than, like, you look at the NHL. I know the Penguins recently won two in a row, but the NHL, you're constantly getting different teams. The NBA, or the NFL, is all Patriots. Baseball is a bunch of different teams. Basketball, once you get a wagon like that, Tim Duncan, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, and now the Warriors, they win all the titles. So it's difficult to compete like that.
617-779-7937. We'll get right back to the calls in just a few minutes. We've got Red Sox tickets to give away at 12:30 during the pregame show for Red Sox baseball. Dale and Keefe have got a trend.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Get connected with Rich Keefe on Twitter at Keefe21. Now back to more of Dale and Keefe on Sports Radio WEEI.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Red Sox baseball this afternoon. We will be part of the pregame show, and we will, in fact, be giving away Red Sox tickets.
Pretty good.
At 12:30 on Free Ticket Thursday. We've got some NBA stuff we've been talking about. Obviously, the Bruins and the fact that Zdeno Chara and Matt Grizzlick appears that they will play tonight.
Oh, I say put them in. Put them in pen. Those guys are playing.
It would certainly look to be the case, as both skated this morning. Neither had on a red non-contact jersey. Chara has to be cleared by the doctor. That's probably already happened. I'm sure that happened after he got off the ice. Yes, you can go. It's up to you. Or no, you can't go.
So Fourier just tweeted at the show, at Dale Keefe WEEI, and then there's like an article saying that Grizzlick's in, Chara's still possible for Game 5. So is he now taking credit for Chara maybe playing, even though he said he was Dunsky? I don't get what the hell's going on now.
Like you said, we don't know what... Fourier's basically said he's out, he's Dunsky. Then he said he may play Game 5.
Well, that's what I said. Going forward, every single game, take a guy who's hurt. Dale says he's in, I'll say he's out, or vice versa. And then the show's right every time.
That's what
we should do.
According to the piece that he linked to, he said...
Who wrote that piece, by the way?
He said they don't put a name on it.
Yeah, because nobody wants to be attached to it. They're all running away from Hockey Insider Christian Fourier right now.
Fourier said his sources changed their tune on Wednesday.
Oh, my God. Then don't get mad. Why would you get so hot and bothered about people not crediting your Dunzo or Dunsky report when turns out the Dunsky report wasn't even right?
And for the record, I'm never wrong. Okay. Now the story may change.
I just think. Listen, I think he's back to Super Bowl winning tight end Christian Fourier. He's not Hockey Insider Christian Fourier. It's tough.
He said yesterday.
You want to wear a lot of hats.
He said yesterday on OMF.
Yeah.
That his source.
Yeah.
First told him Chara would miss Game 5, but potentially return later in the series. Then telling him that actually a returning Game 5 was still a possibility.
You can't have everything.
He started with Dunsky.
Yeah.
Done for the playoffs.
Dunsky.
Then he was miss Game 5, maybe return later in the series. Then he was possibly returning in Game 5. So he kind of covered all the bases.
It's not going great. Let's be honest. It's not one you're going to want to hang your hat on, I don't think.
Greg's in Rhode Island. Hey, Greg, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey,
what's up? I just, I'm curious here, Dale. What do you think? Do you think Bergeron's the bigger badass for playing with his collapsed lung, or do you think Chara?
I'm not sure it's an either-or proposition.
Chara hasn't done it
yet. If Chara plays, and I'll stress the if part, it would be a pretty badass thing to do, but what Bergeron did was pretty badass as well. One has to be better than the other?
Yeah. Which one's dumber?
Oh, the collapsed lung thing, probably.
That's great and all, but you know, what if you got hit wrong again? You die? Like that is pretty dangerous.
And he kind of knew...
Yeah.
Because he's talked to me about it. He kind of knew when he was sitting on the bench that, you know, he wasn't quite breathing right. Mm-hmm. I heard a lot of people, especially Mutt this morning, was talking about how hard it was going to be for Chara to breathe. And it might be. It was probably harder for Bergeron to breathe with a collapsed lung, huh?
Yeah, either way, I think you're you need to breathe right. I think either way, through the nose, it makes the nasal passages.
Yeah. Chara did not have a breathe right on
he's
this
saving
morning.
It.
Well, that could be.
You don't want to waste them. They do lose their effect.
They can only afford one or two in there.
Yeah, you get a few hours worth of real good.
Line them up and down the nose.
No, I don't think you want to do too many. You could do two, right?
You seen Chara's nose? He can fit like
three,
six or seven. I think.
All right. Now I think you're being a little much.
Nose shaming. I think.
Yeah. He is.
He's got a big nose. Bergeron too.
You tell him.
Really? I will. Zdeno Chara, you got a big nose.
I'd be more impressed.
Hopefully,
if you
can
it
breathe
face
out of it.
Right. Yeah. Arthur's in New Hampshire. Hey, Arthur.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
So, one of the positive things I think about this injury to Chara is it's definitely deflected the spotlight on how poorly our front lines played. So, in Wiggy's face, even when the guy gets hurt, he's helping out his teammates like the good captain that he is.
That's actually a good point. I mean, everybody, and I don't know how much of it those guys would hear or pay attention to, but we haven't really talked as much about how the Bruins really got outplayed by the Blues last game. Haven't talked about how the second line is useless, how the top line kind of comes and goes a little bit. Yeah, you're right. The attention's been more on Chara and if he's going to play or not.
I will say this. If you're a player on that team and you see him, you know, getting suited up and ready to go tonight, you can't even think about going out there and not giving everything you've got.
Right, exactly.
And I understand they think they are anyway. You're in game five of the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah.
You're two wins away from a Stanley Cup championship. You give everything you've got.
Mm-hmm.
But do you always? And, you know, does him being in the lineup change at all how they approach? Now, I will say they'll be a little more protective of him. Somebody takes a run at Chara early on, I would expect you'd see a parade of Bruins players trying to get out.
Well, and that's another reason why I want David Backes in the lineup. I know there's no fights. Like, there's been three fights the entire postseason, and those were probably all the first round.
I wouldn't mind.
I'd love to see one. I don't expect one, but that doesn't mean you don't get some physical play. The way the Blues have been flying around on people. So, if they're going to try to take liberties with Chara and Grizzlick,
yes.
Isn't that another reason to have Backes out there? I mean, especially if you want to send a message and then, you know, worst case scenario, Backes gets sent to the box. That's not like sending somebody else who might have to kill the penalty going in there. So I hope he plays, but that's still going to be one of the other lineup decisions they have to make.
Kevin's in New Hampshire. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, how are you?
What's going on?
Listen, I got a thought, and maybe it's crazy, but I'm wondering if they, if Zeke is cleared and decides to go, and they do dress an extra defenseman, if they just take Zdeno and use him on a PK strictly and the extra defenseman playing the majority of the time, is that something they consider?
It is certainly possible, but I don't think so. I think that their feeling is if Chara is cleared to play and he says he wants to play, he's going to play.
Now, he's going to do his minutes.
Now, you know,
I could see his minutes going down, though. I don't know if he plays 22, 24 minutes. I could see that. Also, hopefully they're not on the penalty kill too many times. You know, what was it last game? Two or three?
Three.
Three times last game. So hopefully it's right around there, and you're only killing off 4 minutes of penalties, and you would expect him to play certainly way more than 2 to 3 minutes.
I mean, if I was guessing, and that's all I'm doing here, okay, I would guess that they go with six defensemen and the 12 forwards. I would guess that it's Chara and
then
Grizzly,
just fingers
and
crossed
you just
on those
go.
Guys.
Yeah, you just you play it normally. You go.
I also don't think you would dress Chara if you were only playing him shorthanded. That's a waste.
Right.
That's a waste of a roster
yes,
spot.
Absolutely.
Don't do that. Yeah.
And I don't think that that's something that Cassidy would do.
No, I don't think so either.
I think that if Chara is cleared and they decide that he's going to play, then they're saying he's out there, he's playing.
Yeah.
And then you hope to God nothing happens.
Exactly.
John's and Lynn. Hey, John.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. What's up?
I just had a point, Dale, and you've been watching hockey probably as long as me. I'm in my 50s.
Okay. Lines up.
Why is the NHL still only allowing this many men to dress? Weren't these rules made back when you barely used a fifth defenseman and you barely used your fourth line? Shouldn't they be allowed just to dress an extra D in forward anyway?
No, they shouldn't. Because then what'll happen is if you've got a defenseman who's not having a good game, you say, hey, you're hurt, okay? Sit down. We're going to bring another guy in. Now, they've got a limit on
that
the
really
number of guys
up the
who
goons,
can skate.
Too.
Yeah,
you
no.
have so many
oh,
goons.
No.
The guys just skating around without a stick. You're like, hey, I'm out here. I'm here to kill somebody, yeah, and then I'm done.
And by the way, every sport has a limit to how many guys you can put on a roster.
Right.
You know,
how many active guys?
Yeah, you can't. Yeah. If you're the Patriots, say, well, look, let's get a couple of extra guys. We'll just stick them in uniform in case we need them.
Right.
No, you just play with what the rules are. I don't want to see them, hey, dress an extra defenseman, an extra forward, because if Z gets hurt, we want to stick somebody in there.
Well, no, especially because if you really wanted to, you know, say for a period, you really wanted to just play 9 forwards, you could do it.
Yeah.
And if you really wanted to play 5 defensemen, well, we saw the Bruins do it. You could do it. You could do it with 5 defensemen. So I think that's kind of part of it. Like if somebody gets hurt, all right, well, your team is going to be at a little bit of a disadvantage. Or, in a case like this, if you want to run the risk to play Chara Grizzlick, you shouldn't be bailed out by being able to dress 7-8 defensemen. Like that, I think that's not fair either.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We've got Red Sox baseball coming up in just a little bit. We'll be part of the pregame show. We've got Red Sox tickets to give away at 12:30 as part of Free Ticket Thursday. But we'll get right back to your calls in just a couple of minutes. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The godfather of Boston sports, Dale.
Dale, you are the greatest. I believe you are the godfather of WEEI, and it is a pleasure to me speaking to you.
And Keith.
Call to speak to the godfather,
Dean. Dale's, oh yeah, the godfather's here. Yeah,
sorry, yeah.
Oh,
sorry.
Good. I have the right number.
Yeah.
On Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Let me just give you one other quick update on Zdeno Chara, and then we'll work in another topic here. NHL Public Relations has confirmed that Zdeno Chara cannot talk or open his mouth. He will give written answers to a couple of questions later this afternoon. 2 questions about his state of health. How about if he doesn't have to
respond?
Why
does he have to do that?
Why? How about if... No, he's unavailable. So obviously what they're confirming here is that his jaw's been wired shut,
well, also
which is what we thought.
They're also confirming to me that he's going to play. You don't make the guy go through, just like Grizzlick yesterday. Only 3 players spoke to the media yesterday after practice, and Grizzlick was one of them.
Yeah.
Like, this guy hasn't played in a while.
And by the way,
them.
He was in front of the media again today at a podium.
Yeah, so he's definitely playing. And then Chara, if you're going to make him go through that where he's going to respond, how weird is that? Just, you know what? He can't talk. I think people would understand that you're not going to do an interview with Chara.
You can't talk to him, okay?
So now he's
going to
write stuff
down?
He's
going to give written answers to 2 questions. How about, no, you can't.
They should just be yes-no answers. Like,
oh,
are you going to play?
So
yes. How do you feel? Bad. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much, Z.
How about if he just, whatever they ask,
yeah.
he just writes on the sheet of paper, breathe right.
Breathe right strips.
I mean,
he should wear one. I'd be shocked if he wasn't. And I'd be a little upset because I feel like that would really help his game. And you think I'm kidding, but I'm not.
There's a possibility, by the way. It was thought that if Tom Brady was going to talk to anybody, this was going to be the day when he does it.
Yeah.
This is, if he does.
Today's the day.
Well, it's cause kind of the last day of the
Should be today, right? Camp too, or is he going to put this off?
And the, and of course, tonight is the big ceremony at Robert Kraft's house. And
day after his birthday, no less.
Yeah.
Things are coming up Robert Kraft here recently.
So the question, I guess, from, and forget the fan banner stuff. I heard them talking about this earlier today.
Wait, who we got tonight?
Well,
Brady?
I think Mutt was convinced that Gronk was going to do it. That Gronk was going to somehow, I don't know.
Again?
That's
I feel like it's a one and done type
of
situation.
He did crush it. I mean, I'd have to say.
He was very good at it. Rossi did an audition for it. Didn't look great. He looked like that Star Wars kid in the garage, but he didn't
that's
hurt,
how I
he
would
didn't
do
hurt
it,
himself.
Though.
He didn't hurt himself, so that was good. Do we have a prediction for who it's going to be tonight?
Well, I don't think it's going to be a Patriot. They're not. They're down at that party where they're going to fly in and out. Like, how does
we
that
had a caller
work?
Yesterday suggest it would actually just be Chara, but I don't think it will be him.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
You think
it
Chara?
Should be Chara does it, then he skates out and plays.
Then he runs down and plays.
Puts on his skates, very dramatic.
That would get the crowd into
parachutes
it.
Parachutes down.
That would. Oh, he's going to parachute down. Now.
Uses a banner like a flag.
Zip line.
Yes.
Oh, I like that.
Use the banner as a parachute.
Wow.
I hate to break the news to you guys. He's only in about the second row.
Oh.
It would be a very short drop down to the ice. He's about three feet above the ice.
The way he is. He can just step over it.
If he was standing where the fan banner captain
stands, we'll
they
the
stand in like
floor,
the second or third row.
Parachute down.
I think there's a better chance of a Red Sox flying in than a Patriot.
David Ortiz, right? David Ortiz,
right? He's got to be. Like, who else is there?
Unless you do a redo. I think that would be kind of anticlimactic.
Belichick again?
No.
All the Patriots are probably out. Probably no Patriot.
I mean,
Kyrie Irving in a real twist.
And he rips off his Bruins sweater and his Celtics jersey is on underneath.
Guys, I'm coming back. I was like, nobody cares. Like, we're not worried about you right now.
Honestly, I think like Portnoy has a better chance.
It might be. Yeah, it could be Portnoy. If he's recovered, he got assaulted in St. Louis. Did you see that?
He might be under concussion protocol if Char isn't.
He is.
It was a debilitating head injury from that nasty towel shot.
I think he said on Twitter that all three guys, Grizzlick, Char, Portnoy, all going to play tonight.
With head injuries.
Yeah. They're all going to play.
But I think Ortiz. Ortiz is probably your best.
Ortiz makes the most sense.
Is there anybody else we're missing?
No.
Is there any like legend or anybody they could
Derek
roll out?
Derek Sanderson, maybe.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be Willie O'Ree earlier. But he's out of town now.
Which former Bruins have they used so far?
Or obviously.
A whole bunch of the 11 guys.
Chief did. Johnny Busick did early in the playoffs.
Bork
one of the first
too,
games.
Right?
Bork has.
Yeah, so I mean.
You get Cam up there in his suit.
I don't think he's going to do it.
I mean, what's Joey Juneau doing? Joey Juneau's got to be.
How many fans would know? Who the hell is that?
The real fans would know, Dale. They're real fans. They're smart fans there at the Garden. Get Joey Juneau or Brian Smolinski. I think one of those guys could come in there, wave the banner, proud, and lead them onto a big Game 5 win. That'd be my guess.
So here's the deal. Because social media is such a watchword for everybody.
Yes.
We're now at the point where apparently there are folks out there who are trying to decipher Tom Brady's Twitter feed.
Well, I think you have to. He's relatively new to Twitter. He joined for April Fool's Day.
Yes.
And then he claimed that was going to be it. But though he's a very active tweeter.
He's pretty good. He's a follow.
He tweets a lot. So the other day, he's going out to practice at training camp, and he has four photos of himself. One walking out, one dropping back, one throwing the ball, one doing agility drills. So four pictures of Brady wearing the red quarterback jersey.
Really nice, too.
Oh, he looks fantastic.
Male model like.
He is. He's one of these guys that looks better as he gets older.
He has.
Like a Clooney, like a Brad Pitt. Like that's a lot what he looks like. And then the caption there, quoted, "Treat my first like my last and my last like my first!" !
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand this is a Jay-Z lyric. It's a lyric.
Yeah.
A lot of these guys tweet lyrics, but they do it for a reason.
But he didn't put the music emoji in there.
Did not do music emoji. Did not do dash Jay-Z. Didn't do any of that.
So there are those who interpreted that as, this is my last mini camp, my last season.
I don't think you're crazy to think that, except
I don't think he meant that at all.
No, I don't think so either. But why'd he do that? Just to mess with us?
I think what he meant was my first practice is as important as my last practice.
And this is his last practice.
No, it's not. It's his first, though, because he hasn't been here.
Right.
And he treats every single practice moment, every play. He's talked about this in the past.
Yeah.
I mean, he takes it so seriously. I'm not going to waste just because we're calling it mandatory mini camp. If I'm out here, this matters.
So, like, this is his first practice. This is starting this year, and he's hoping that his last practice will be Super Bowl week, something like that.
Yep.
Yeah, I'd freak out more if he was ambiguous ever, like, or more often, but he isn't. Like, he's always, I'm playing till I'm 45, I'm playing till I'm 45, and all this stuff. But when I saw this, like, you knew, and most of the responses were like, what? Say it ain't so, Tom. This isn't it, is it? So I think he's going to be back for a couple more years, at least, the way that he's going. But that's what happens. You got to read these tweets. You got to go to Instagram.
And technically, he's entering the final year of his contract. I don't think he will.
They're going to let him go?
I don't think
so. Can they get
a
comp pick for him?
Yeah.
How high would the compensatory pick be?
699th overall.
Take it back.
I mean, I think he'll probably have a contract extension before.
I think so too.
They kick off the regular season.
Yeah. Yeah, I would think so.
Also, Twitter update from Tom Brady.
Yeah.
He liked a tweet about Vince Carter coming back to break the NBA record for playing the most seasons.
Interesting. How about Vince Carter still playing, by the way? That's incredible.
I bet you if you polled people, they thought he retired 5 years ago.
Maybe. He's not useless either. Like, he's not obviously what he was, but he's not useless.
But Tom Brady liking that, you know, maybe he can't break that record.
He's going to play forever. He's now the last guy left from the 2000 draft class, right, after Janikowski said goodbye. So he's still there, still doing his thing. But how about, so Adam Humphries, remember Adam Humphries, the guy that they wanted, they offered him a lot of money.
Yeah.
And so he said no, and the reason why we thought he said no was because he was a man of his word, and he told the Titans he was going to sign with the Titans, and the Patriots came in later and offered more money, but he said, listen, I already gave a verbal agreement, and unlike Josh McDaniels, my word actually means something. And so he wanted to go to the Titans, and I thought, well, that's pretty good, I guess. I mean, maybe
good to be honest.
Maybe not the best businessman, but he's honest, and he didn't get every last dollar, but apparently he also had another thing, another reason for it, and that was Tom Brady's age. That was a factor that he had. And he said, yeah, Tom Brady might be there for another couple of years, but what's it going to be like year three or four? I signed a four-year deal, so what's the quarterback situation going to be like after that? Although then he then signs with the Tennessee Titans, which I would ask him, what's the quarterback situation in year one? But Colin Cowherd had some thoughts on Humphrey's decision.
There are so few guarantees in professional football. Adam Humphrey's had a chance to be part of a guarantee. And he chose Marcus Mariota and the Titans. In fact, to prove my point, I'm going to give you what I believe to be absolute guarantees in the NFL. And here's how few there are. Let's do number one. Patriots win the AFC East. I think that's a guarantee. They're going to get against Sam Darnold second year, Josh Rosen second year, Josh Allen second year. He's going up against babies. I don't even think I'm being a Patriot homer. I think they're going to win the division. If you look at their schedule, if you look at the better teams they play, a lot of them at Foxborough. He's going up against baby quarterbacks and all new systems and all new coordinators. The wave of New England is not done yet. The wave for Tennessee doesn't even exist.
If Humphrey signed with Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, or pick another good young quarterback, Watson and the Texans, I could actually understand what he's saying. But he doesn't want to join up with the Patriots. You know for a fact, and Coward's right, they're going to win the division this year. They're going to win the division next year.
I would say that's probably true.
And Humphries is coming from the Buccaneers. Wouldn't you want those automatic playoff games?
Yes.
I would think so. So that was weird. Like, just stick with the I'm the man of my word thing. There's no Tom Brady in there. Tom Brady, 3 years from now, may still be in the league. Marcus Mariota, by the way, not that good. And he's a free agent.
Contract
he could be gone. So who's their quarterback going to be in 2 years? Who's their quarterback going to be this year? Would you put all your money on Mariota playing all 16 games this year for the Titans? What a dumb thing to say. That doesn't make any sense. But the Patriots wanted him, and they offered him a lot of money.
I don't think he's done. I don't think he's going to get to 45, which was his stated goal.
Yeah.
But I think he's going to get to 44, which is about three more years than I thought he was going to get.
And for 2 years, even if you sign a four-year deal, get whatever the guarantees you're going to get. I would also say whoever the Patriots replace Brady with will be as good, if not better, than Mariota. Because he's a very average quarterback. You could find somebody like that. Hell, it might even be Mariota. Who's to say? You might get him as the backup, and then he's the starter in 3 years.
By the way, Zdeno Chara has already submitted his written answers to two questions.
Yeah, can you read them for us?
I can.
Oh, yeah, what does he say? Or what did he write?
Well, I only know one so far because they're sending it out.
Do we know what the question is, or do you only have the answer?
I only...
Okay.
Quote, at this time of the playoffs, everyone has injuries, and there are challenges that you have to overcome to play. I'm no different than any player on either team, unquote.
He wrote that all down?
He
did. How long did that take? What's his handwriting like?
Don't know.
Or did he type it out, maybe?
There were two questions supposedly submitted to him. He wrote answers to two questions. That's okay. The only one that has been put out there so far.
So what happened? Yeah, weird.
Why did they make him go through this?
I don't understand that.
So that he could say that?
It's really weird, isn't it? Like, what an odd thing. Like, if that was the Patriots, that guy's going nowhere near the media. And the Bruins are kind of like the Patriots in that, as far as like how they're secretive they are, or how they try to be anyway. They try to be secretive of their injuries and protective of their players and all of that. And to send him out there for two written responses, that is odd. That might be odder than him sitting on the bench for the third period with his helmet on, not playing.
So we think he's playing tonight.
Yes.
Grizzlick's playing tonight. I think they're going to play with six defensemen and 12 forwards, just like they did in the first, you know, four games of this series.
Yeah.
Do you make
a switch anywhere? Do you put Kuhlman in? No, I don't either. I want back.
I would consider Kuhlman.
Okay.
But I think because of the physical nature, you're probably going to want to protect Grizzlick and Chara a little bit.
Yeah.
Backus would be the most likely guy to be able to do that. If Kevin Miller were healthy and able to play, I'd be more likely to consider making a switch up front.
Yeah, that makes sense, because at least you have somebody there that can throw their weight around a little bit. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious that the Blues are going to go after Grizzlick. They're going to go after Chara. Hopefully, they get called for penalties, and then they dominate on the power play once again. I think as far as guys who need to step up for Game 5, I don't think you need to overthink it. I think it needs to be a big top-line night again. Those guys, at their best, are the best line in hockey. They've had some games throughout the postseason run where they look like it. Then they have other games where they disappear, and you're wondering if Pastrnak should be, you know, move down to the second and third line. So if those guys, Bergeron and Marchand in particular, if those two guys have, you know, multiple point nights, then they're going to win.
The first four games of this series, the Bruins have a total of 6 5-on-5 goals. Six.
Yeah.
Two from Corrali.
Right.
Two from Coyle. One from Nordstrom. One from Clifton.
That is a major problem.
Huge problem.
Yeah.
If you're going to win tonight, you're going to need some production from the top two lines, which you've gotten none of, basically.
Yo, what's up, guys?
He's one of them. I don't even think the second line, I've written them off, and that's why DeBrus will probably score tonight, because he's been so awful that DeBrus will score, and I'll look like an idiot. But that line has been useless. So I'm all set with that line. It's the top line. And you can't, like you said, just wait for the power play. If you get the power play, great, score on it.
Yeah.
But you got to be able to come up with something. That is really damning. Third, fourth line guys and defensemen are how they have scored 5-on-5. So, and we'll see what the game is like. Is it a game where you get two power plays or if you get seven? Now, if you only get two, that can't be the excuse. And you say, well, you know, what are we going to do? We're so reliant on the power play. Nope, got to score 5-on-5. And it's got to be those guys. It's got to be Marchand, you know, looking like he did in the regulars. A 100-point guy has got to show up in a game like this.
Here's your other written response from Zdeno Chara. He was asked if he's concerned about further injury. Quote, you don't think about that. You think about playing. You don't go into a game thinking you might get hurt, unquote.
I was going to say, because you could think that way every game.
Yes.
You could, right?
I mean, in hockey, you could get hurt on virtually every single play. But those are the two questions the National Hockey League, I guess.
Was that worth it? What was the point?
Made him write responses to.
What, do you have a whiteboard? What do you think he had?
I don't know the answer.
Yeah, it was the notes app. He was just sitting on his phone, cranking away at the notes app, and then he would hold it up and somebody would read it. Maybe they had like a spokesperson down there.
By the way, as we expected, Tom Brady is talking to the media literally even as we speak right now. He was asked about tonight's ring ceremony. He says, quote, it means a lot. It's a great night to celebrate. You'll have these pictures the rest of your life. Could he be talking about rings in that tweet that you were talking about?
Treat my first like my last and my last like my first?
Could he be talking about the ring ceremony?
No. Because they're all pictures from practice. So I think he's talking about practice.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
I think he was talking about his practice. Did they ask him if he's going to somehow be able to get to the Bruins game on time?
They didn't ask him that, but they did ask him about the Tom Terrific nickname.
Oh, good. What do you say about that?
He said that he wanted to trademark it to stop others from using it. He said, quote, it's unfortunate. I don't like the nickname. Lesson learned.
What?
So it sounds as though he's withdrawing.
Good. It's a dumb nickname. Nobody calls him that. And they did call Tom Seaver that. So it is dumb. There's a lot more to unpack there. I know Boomer Esiason was on with the morning guys. Yeah. He is the leader in the clubhouse as far as who's the most pissed off. But tomorrow, I say we get more into Brady and Tom Terrific.
He said
nobody calls him.
He said the whole thing about copywriting the Tom Terrific nickname was a misunderstanding.
There you go.
Says he didn't want that to be used in collaboration with him and his name.
I guess. Just who cares? Tom Terrific. Did he trademark everything else involving Tom? All the other stupid nicknames that we saw in his Pro Football Reference?
Red Sox baseball is coming up in just a little bit. We're going to stick around to be part of that as well. Don't go anywhere. We continue on Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.